Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Well, it has finally happened. We've heard all the noise since Rich Paul came to town in December, and it just got louder and louder. Even after the Kings won 7 in a row, looked like things were going in a better direction, it got louder. Could De'Aaron Fox finally get moved? What was his future going to be like? Well, we found out just moments ago, the Sacramento Kings, after 8 years with De'Aaron Fox, drafting him with the 5th pick overall, a one-time All-Star, an All-NBA guy, he has been traded to the San Antonio Spurs in a 3-team deal between the Bulls, the Spurs, and the Kings. Yes, the same 3 teams that made a deal over the summer in the DeMar DeRozan deal come together again, and they make a trade. The details, De'Aaron Fox, Jordan McLaughlin headed to the San Antonio Spurs. In return, the Sacramento Kings get Zach LaVine, Sidy Sissoko from San Antonio. They get 3 firsts, but let's be honest, it's really 2 because it's a 2025 Hornets first, lottery protected. Breaking news at this hour, they're going to be in the lottery. That would convey to a 2nd round pick. They get a 2027 Spurs first round pick. Yeah, we'll see. And then they get a 2031 Minnesota first round pick, which probably the best asset they get in return pick-wise. In addition, they get 3 second round picks, 2025 Bulls, a 2028 Nuggets, and they're one of their own back, a 2028 second round pick. Meanwhile, Chicago Bulls, Zach Collins, Trey Jones, Kevin Huerter, and they get their own 2025 pick back from the San Antonio Spurs. So going out for Sacramento, Fox, McLaughlin, Huerter, coming back, Zach LaVine, Sidy Sissoko, and those picks. Are the Kings done? The deadline is Thursday. I can't imagine that they would go, okay, everything's good now after this deal. So where the hell do we start? Last year at this time, it sounded like the Bulls could not give away Zach LaVine, donate him to teams. Yep. This year, it seemed like more teams were interested in him because of what he's been able to do this year. He ends up getting involved in the De'Aaron Fox trade, and Sacramento, who has seemingly had their eyes on Zach LaVine for a long time, dating back to when they signed him to an offer sheet years ago that the Bulls matched, he is finally a member of the Sacramento Kings. Where do you want to start with this one? De'Aaron Fox?
Yeah, I guess we can start with the whole De'Aaron Fox layer of this, and then we can break down what this means for the Sacramento Kings. So yeah, let's start with De'Aaron Fox.
I'm very high on De'Aaron Fox, and I think he is going to the perfect situation with San Antonio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's going to be cast as a number 2, and he's next to a guy that many believe will be a generational talent in Victor Wembanyama. That's a good spot to be in. He's got ties to Texas, and I think ultimately he wanted to be there. And how I reflect back on this De'Aaron Fox saga is, the Kings were his high school sweetheart, and he went through some shit in Sacramento. Drafted high, coaching changes, missed draft picks. Think about, they had the number 2 pick in the draft. They take Marvin Bagley instead of Luka Doncic. Some of the swings and misses. Hell, when Monty McNair came to town, first couple of drafts, they draft a couple more point guards, Tyrese Halliburton and Davion Mitchell. So missed draft picks, swings and misses. Finally, they get Domantas Sabonis, Mike Brown. Things are going well. First year, amazing. 48 wins, get to the playoffs, lose to the Warriors in 7 game. Okay, what's next? All right, they kind of ran it back. And then the deadline came. Oh, they kind of ran it back. This offseason came, they add DeMar DeRozan, which I think helped in some ways, but did not address some major weaknesses up front with the size, the length. I think for me, we got to this point because De'Aaron Fox has been here a long time. He's thinking about his future. Rich Paul's in his ear talking about, hey, man, what about other places?
Sure.
What do you think about this? And it got to a point where he was okay with the idea. I think ultimately De'Aaron wanted to be in Sacramento, and I think all he really wanted is to see this team address the weaknesses at the wing spot and back up big so this team could take a step. And the team just never was able to do it. And ironically, now it seems like they may be addressing that with future trades.
Yeah.
So it's bizarre. I felt like it got to a point where there was no coming back.
Yeah. And that's, and you know, what's wild about that. It didn't even seem like it got too hasty behind the scenes or anything, like people not liking each other, whatever it may be. It was just people wanting what was best for them and their futures. And I think about De'Aaron and what would have happened here if he continued to be part of this Sacramento Kings squad, is that the Kings would keep trying to build around him, whatever, but he gave so many opportunities for that to happen as well. When we talk about the missed draft picks, and then also when you look at the trade deadlines and just not enough happening, the almost trades happening,
a lot of almost trades,
and it just wasn't enough. And you reach this point in your career where sometimes it is about change and it is about that change of scenery. And it's kind of like we said right from the start, him not having the pressure of being the number one guy, he is going to excel even more so. I mean, anyone would excel around Victor Wembanyama, right? But you think about De'Aaron Fox and the leaps he's taken in his game on both sides of the floor. And the last couple of years around January, he would hit these lulls, or his body would be a little bit beat up, and so he'd slow down, a finger, you know, whatever it may be, his shot would be off again. Those things would happen. And so then people would start to talk about him having this MVP-like beginning of the season or all-star season, and then by the time you'd get to that all-star break or even talking in those discussions more, things would change. And I think for him, it would have been nice to see just more consistent years together on the basketball floor from him. But at the same time, when you look at him as a basketball player on the offensive end with that unique skill set in that speed, and then also being able to start to develop that outside shot, and then on the defensive end, what he was able to, there are not too many two-way point guards in this league. And De'Aaron Fox finally started really becoming an elite one in so many different ways. And so, yeah, like that stuff, when you focus on that, it's going to hurt. And you think about too, when he's with the Spurs, he'll have that second line of defense, that rim protection, and Victor Wembanyama.
And whatever the Spurs do, and to their credit, they have been able to have a lot of picks, and they didn't have to dip super deep into their pick bag today. They didn't like give up anything that may hurt, except that 2031 Minnesota pick. They still have assets, a cupboard full, to try to maneuver and add to that team with Fox and Victor Wembanyama. And just the exposure Fox is going to get now. I mean, you're going to be on national TV all the time. I think you have a greater chance of maybe getting the recognition that you thought you couldn't get in Sacramento.
Yep.
All NBAs, all stars. Well, guess what? You're front and center now. Yeah. And if you perform at that level, the eyeballs are on you. You're going to get that love. De'Aaron Fox is, to me, one of my favorite Kings, and it's a bummer that it did not work out here, because I think it could have. I think it could have had
agree.
They made like, you think back to last year to Siakam, if they had gotten OG or other things that maybe were on the table, they couldn't get it done. And that's the shame in all this. And I'm happy for De'Aaron.
Yeah.
Because I think, I like him.
Yeah.
But it's also going to hurt to see him thrive.
That's exactly where I was going to go. It's going to suck for Sacramento Kings fans, as you do see him thrive, and especially in the Western Conference, and especially next to a generational piece like Victor Wembanyama. It's going to hurt. And it's really going to hurt if these two teams end up in the play-in this year, and then they play against
God.
That scenario would suck, right? All these different things could happen. I look at, again, not to ever even close compared to what happened last night in the NBA with Luka and Anthony Davis. But I look at that situation of how someone was just ready to move on, right? Even if it felt like there was not enough done around Luka before they were ready to move on, but they were ready to move on. And I feel like with this, the writing has been on the wall for a little bit now, but also De'Aaron has just stayed professional through all these coaching changes throughout his entire career. I think for him, being able to go to an organization too that has that long history of just consistency and all the different things, I'm excited for him to get a different experience and to have a new change of scenery.
And from a per, should we go over some of the details of this trade? Sure. Just like looking at it, like my first reaction is the Spurs have to be just so happy right now. There was so much talk like, oh, dude, they're going to have to give up Vassell, Castle, picks. And that always felt like too much. And then you heard the noise like, no, they don't really want to give up Castle either. You're going, okay, what are they going to give up in this deal? Dude, they gave up Zach Collins, Trey Jones, and CD Sissoko. And I know the picks count too. I'm not like denying that. But they still have some picks. So you keep Steph Castle, who you really, really like. You add Fox. You still have Vassell. And you're still in a great spot. There's going to be players in the league who want to play with Victor Wembanyama. To me, this trade is a massive win for the San Antonio Spurs. No doubt about it. They did not have to kill themselves to make this deal. They kept their young talent. They had a guy in De'Aaron Fox who has all NBA talent if he's locked in, ready to go around the right pieces. It's a swing and a home run to me for them.
It really is.
All the rumors we have. Hey, Vassell, dude.
Here's what we knew about this, though, from the start when these conversations started happening. We said whoever gets De'Aaron Fox is going to be the winner. Like, whoever it was going to be. This, even more so than you could even imagine for the San Antonio Spurs and what they didn't have to give up, what they didn't have to change to also get De'Aaron Fox on that roster. Someone who wants to be there. Someone who has that personality too doesn't need to be in LA, doesn't need to be.
De'Aaron Fox is a gem. And we've talked about this before. Like, look, a little biased here. We've known De'Aaron since he came into the league. He and Rosé did a podcast right here with us. And I will forever be, you know, grateful that they did that. Like, they didn't have to do that. It was a big deal. They were here for 2 hours.
They're amazing.
Came to us. Like, amazing people, number one. Like, that's the biggest thing. And I don't think they realize what that did for us in our podcast by taking the time to do it. They're just real ones. And like, you don't have star players do that. Go to some like local podcast and go, let's hang out and talk to these
idiots.
In this tiny room. The sweat box during the summertime, right? So yeah, they A+ people. And so, you know, although this is like super sad to see them go, I'm happy that De'Aaron's going to a good opportunity here.
I'm with you.
Now, also, I want the Kings to do well in these situations, too. And
same.
Looking at what the Kings got back, look, the Kings, to me, they're in this, like, they want to be good mode, right? They're in, like, a win now.
Yeah.
What's win now mean, right? You look at this roster. Today, they add LaVine, CD Sissoko as the players. The picks back, I'll reiterate this, they got 3 firsts and 3 seconds. It's really 2 firsts.
That's fine.
The Charlotte first that they get this year is lottery protected. Well, it's going to be a lottery pick. The Hornets are bad. They're going to have a lottery pick this year. That'll be a second round pick. The Spurs pick in 2027. Okay. The Spurs are going to be pretty good in all likelihood. What's that really mean? And then they get the 2031 Minnesota pick. I love that pick. I am very surprised that they weren't able to get some better picks in this. Like, I would have insisted, like, I don't want the Hornets one. Sorry, like, don't give me the Hornets lottery protected one. It hasn't doing me any good. Give me a first round pick. I want 3 firsts for that.
Okay.
But the Kings draft cupboard was pretty bare before this trade. And now it looks a little better.
Draft well.
Well, like, and use those trades to, like, or use those picks to do something here at the deadline. Is there something worth it that you want to do now? They also got the 3 seconds. They didn't have a ton of seconds. So they get a 2025 Bulls second round or a 2028 Denver, and they get their own back in 2028. I was also surprised they had that pick swap with San Antonio from the 3-team deal that they did with the Spurs and the Bulls for DeRozan. They have a pick swap in 2031 with the Spurs. I thought maybe they could get that back.
Over the summer, we were talking about how valuable these picks have been, and everyone, like, is second round picks, it doesn't matter. Picks have been so valuable as an asset. And I just hope now the Sacramento Kings are looking at this trade deadline as we approach February 6th and are thinking about what else they can do with some of those assets.
I don't know.
I mean, I can still tell you what the Kings lack after today. Do you want to go there?
Yeah. Size, length, depth. Still the same things. They didn't address that with this trade.
No.
And so now they still need to address that. And I think it's also going to be a tough thing to swallow for Kings fans too, because it's like, well, why didn't you address that before? And maybe De'Aaron Fox stays.
Yep.
I think a lot of people like De'Aaron Fox, but it's over. He's on his way to San Antonio now. Let's talk about the Zach LaVine element.
Okay.
Zach LaVine, I feel like, is one of those players that comes with some controversy, because some people are like, oh, he's never healthy. he could be selfish, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, we are going to hear so many, oh my God, Bulls 2.0 jokes, because LaVine and DeRozan are back together.
Yeah.
They played 3 seasons together. LaVine played 8 seasons with the Chicago Bulls. He's 29. He turns 30 in March. A 2-time All-Star. His contract is hefty. That's why he ended up moving Herter in this deal as well. He makes 45.9 this year. Excuse me, 45.9 next year, and has an option for the 26-27 season, $48.9 million.
Player option?
Player option.
Okay.
This year, he's averaging 24 points a game, 51% shooting, 44% from three on over 7 attempts per game. Mm. He's 5th in three-point percentage in the league. He's a career 38.7% from downtown in this game. He's 10th in three-point makes this year. He's got 13 games with 30 or more. A lot of great stuff. He's having an amazing offensive season.
Hell yeah, he is.
And I think in some ways, like from a shooting perspective, this Kings team has not been able to hit threes.
Not even open threes.
No, no.
Like, so no threes.
If Zach LaVine comes to Sacramento and starts clanking threes,
then there's a curse.
Then there's something going on. We need an investigation on what the hell is happening with the Sacramento Kings.
What's in the water? What's going on? 100.
LaVine is an athlete. He's got good size, 6'5". I mean, I think the Kings like to play fast. LaVine likes to play fast.
Mm-hmm.
He's super confident. I think offensively, it has a chance to be very dynamic when you've got a backcourt, at the moment, of Malik Monk and Zach LaVine.
Very bouncy, very athletic, very quick. Yeah. Yes.
And the shooting. I mean, the Kings need shooting. And that's the area, when you look at their three-point shooting this year, it's been beyond disappointing. I mean, look, I think their best three-point shooter by percentage is Domantas Sabonis. And he doesn't take a lot of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not ideal at all. I mean, you look at the three-point shooting on the team this year. McDermott doesn't really play. He's at 43%. Keon Ellis, really good, 42%. He takes about 4 a game. Trey Lyles, 33.6%. Malik, love him, 33%.
Mm-hmm.
Keegan Murray, 32%. Fox, 32%. DeMar DeRozan, 31.9%. Devin Carter, 26%. Herter was at 30.2%. So you get the point. Awful.
Yeah.
If you're in the low 30s and you're bordering into the 20s, you're not going to win consistently. You got to be able to put the ball in the goddamn bucket. And here's what I do know. Zach LaVine can do that.
He can. And I'm not worried about what's going to happen on the offensive end. You know, I think it's just like, even when DeMar came over the summer and everyone's like, but what's the spacing going to be like? Oh, and it's like, you figure it out. When you put good basketball players on the floor together, you can figure it out. Right. They started figuring out, they started playing a different style of offense. It was simplified under Doug Christie. Look, you haven't seen a great road trip here, but there's also been some things looming over them. Not an excuse, just throwing that out there. Now we go to the defensive end. And to start this road trip for the Sacramento Kings, you saw them take on the Nuggets and the Knicks. And it was so just out in your face.
Glaring.
Yes.
That's probably the best word.
Just glaring that the Kings lack size. And we already knew this, but it's fun when you start to win. It kind of just goes, okay, you can kind of go over it, whatever, blah, blah. No, on this road trip has not been pretty on the defensive end, and it's mostly been because of that size, because of that length. You even think at times like, okay, maybe that defensive effort or that ball pressure from Keon Ellis and Keegan Murray has taken that leap as well. Maybe that will be enough. It's not enough. And I know a lot of people out in the NBA world want to blame everything on Domas Sabonis not being this huge big that is protecting the rim. He does his job, and he finishes off plays with a defensive rebound, right? Like, he's doing something in there. But
and if there's technology, we can look into it too. Anybody who's watching us live, nearly 3,000 live, appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
If we can extend his wingspan, it'd be huge. It'd be huge, huge development.
Can't you do that? Isn't there like surgeries, like people can make themselves taller and stuff?
Then let's figure it out.
Okay, Sabonis, so we got to do it. Sabonis' T-Rex arms. Yes,
if good. We get you to a 7'2 wingspan, game changer.
No shit. But, well, we're anyway, not doing that. So the defensive end, and then adding Zach LaVine.
Yeah, look, De'Aaron Fox is a really good defensive player, especially when he's locked in. He's not perfect. There are players you're like, okay, are you locked in? But I feel like more times than not, when he is like ready, he can defend bigger guys. Deflections, monster, steals, plays physical. I mean, I really like De'Aaron Fox as a defender. I actually think he's got all defensive team potential. Probably will get it in San Antonio because he'll be playing with Victor too. So the Kings lose that with De'Aaron Fox.
Sure. I mean,
you mentioned Keon and Keegan do some nice things, but De'Aaron's just aggressiveness and pursuit, like, they're going to miss that. And Zach LaVine does not do that. You know, I think Zach LaVine... You look at him and he's got the tools, the athleticism to be a good defender. He's just not a really good defender. He's just not. And that's going to hurt you. So is it like, are you making like a lateral move today? I think that the biggest thing for me is like, as I love how Zach LaVine's been playing this year. Yes, we can acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. But you can't ignore the past either. He played 25 games last year. The year before that, 77, 67, 58, 60, 63. So not awful, but he's had, you know, injury history.
Sure.
Can he stay on the floor? Can he be a little better defensively? I was digging into the numbers before we went live, and I'm like, where were the Bulls at from a defensive rating perspective when they had DeMar DeRozan and they had LaVine starting for them, like, consistently? Because, you know, last year was so... LaVine was... Like, they had so many injuries. Lonzo. You know, in the 22-23 season, the Bulls were fifth in defensive rating. That was with LaVine. That was with DeRozan and Vucevic in the starting lineup. Now, they also... You know, you had Beverly, you had Caruso. You had other guys, too, right? Uh-huh. But my point is, like, well, okay, those guys were in the starting lineup, and... That was a year where he played 77 games. DeRozan played a lot of games, and they were somehow fifth in defensive rating. What can the Kings do to help that a little bit so they don't take a nosedive defensive? Now, in all fairness, the Kings aren't some defensive juggernauts right now, and that's, again, where we go to roster construction.
Correct.
Right? They've been in a situation where they've been playing like seven guys, right?
Yeah.
The bench has been a non-factor. Last night against OKC, the bench had 0 points in the first half.
And then five midway through the third.
It wasn't until late they scored, right?
Because they were playing garbage time.
Right. So I think it's imperative that this group, if this is what you're leaning in right now, which tells me you trade for LaVine and you get these picks, this isn't like, oh, we're looking to rebuild here. It's like, no, you're trying to win. You're trying to win. Well, just adding Zach LaVine today and CeeDee Sissoko, that doesn't propel you in the Western Conference. Like, the Kings have to be on the phone now. The Kings have to be aggressive now to try to figure out a way to close another deal if this is what they're trying to do. You look at LaVine's deal. We mentioned next year, 45.9. He's got the option for 48.9 in 26-27. Seems like the 26-27 year after that year is like the year where the Kings' books would be fairly clean, except for Sabonis. But what's that next move?
Well, the next move needs to happen before what? Thursday?
Before Thursday.
Yes. So the 6th. And you think about the Kings now having these picks, these assets, to do something more. We've seen some other names within the chatter the last couple of weeks. And so it's just one of those things where we'll have to see where it goes.
My biggest thing you could do, by the way, is hit the thumbs up. Make sure you subscribe. All it does is help us grow. We are live right now trying to make sense of what just went down with the Sacramento Kings, as they have traded De'Aaron Fox. 8 seasons in Sacramento. He is headed to the San Antonio Spurs along with Jordan McLaughlin. In return, the Sacramento Kings, in a three-team deal with the Bulls, receive Zach LaVine, CD Sissoko, 3 first-round picks, really 2, 3 second-round picks, and the Bulls get Zach Collins, Trey Jones, Kevin Huerter, and their own 2025 back. So we're trying to make sense of, all right, what are the Kings trying to do here? To me, this is the Kings trying to like, all right, we're trying to survive here. All right, we're losing some firepower in De'Aaron Fox. It looked like it was going to fall apart here. What are we going to do? We want to still stay competitive. We want to win. Let's get a guy who's playing really well right now, Zach LaVine, who has that all-star potential, and let's bring him to Sacramento. But like we've been discussing, what else is going to happen?
Yeah, and look, the Kings were in a place, even with De'Aaron Fox on this team today or whatever, this season, where they felt like they were going in the right direction. They thought maybe after adding DeMar that they were going to go in the right direction, but I think it was so obvious that it wasn't just Mike Brown, it was the roster construction. And then once all the other things kind of happen with chatter around De'Aaron Fox's future, his contract, what Rich Paul might want for his client as well, well, that's when you really have to look in the mirror and go, okay, is this something that we want to keep this relationship going, or are we cool to go in a different direction? Do you feel like he is your franchise generational, not generational, but whatever type of player where no matter what, you can put the right pieces around him and he's a winner? And I'm not saying that they felt like he wasn't, but I also felt like they couldn't do the right things with him. And now he's going to be put into a situation where the right thing is already there. I mean, the answer is Victor Wembanyama. You put any star player next to Victor Wembanyama, it's just going to elevate their game to the next level.
Dude, and something you brought up and I brought up the other day. What if we see a situation where the Kings and the Spurs play in the play-in?
I mean, that Kings fans would not be happy. And it wouldn't be fun, especially if the Kings ended up losing that game. But think about this. What if the Kings ended up winning that game? Then you're like, oh, yeah, wow. You're feeling good.
That's our new thing. Just be excited about winning one playing game. And it'll feel so good. Meanwhile, like, that's just like the first of many for the San Antonio Spurs as they make a run for years to come.
The Spurs' future is set. The Kings are not set. They're just not at all. But they weren't even today with De'Aaron Fox on the team.
Yeah.
There's so many different things that they were going to have to do. And that's why now I look at this situation. I look at the hole that they have put themselves in this season alone. And they had a long way to crawl out. So even if they were going to wait until the offseason to make a decision and possibly trade De'Aaron Fox, look at all this shit that's happening around the NBA in trades. You could lose out on so many different opportunities. And you want to make sure that he's healthy. I mean, obviously, from what we've seen with what's going on with his finger, his pinky can't even go straight. And that's his left pinky, his left hand, his shooting hand.
That's a good point.
And so you think about in the offseason, he can get it surgically repaired, whatever. It's probably nothing too crazy. But at the same time, you just never know with a shooting hand, right? You just never know with those situations, whatever. He's also dealing with a thumb issue right now. So the poor guy is a little bit banged up as he goes over to the Spurs. But yeah, their future is set. Oh, and he gets to play again with Harrison Barnes.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about the Harrison Barnes dynamic. Yeah, it's a bittersweet day for sure. And I think emotionally where I'm at is like, just fascinated to see what's next for the Kings because it just doesn't seem like this can be it. You know what I mean?
Well, and it can't be. And that's, I think that's where a lot of Kings fans, I see a lot of Kings fans in the chat and on Twitter and everywhere else, really upset. But I also think it's hilarious whenever De'Aaron would have a bad game and not calling you out because it might have not been you, but there's also an outroar of trade De'Aaron. He sucks. We hate him. Oh my God. Like the worst things ever. And so it is so interesting that people are just like prisoner of whatever moment. And I'm also just waiting for the Sacramento Kings to be shit on by the national media because that's what just happens after every single move that the Sacramento Kings do make. You go back to the Tyrese Halliburton and Domas Sabonis trade. JJ Redick at the time, who was doing a podcast, called it malpractice and said that the NBA should step in to not. Was that the one?
Yeah, it was.
That was the one.
Like, I know you're wondering if he was actually saying about the trade that happened last night between the Mavs and Lakers with Luka going to the Lakers. Yeah. I think what I am struggling with, and like, you can't go back in time and change it, but it's just, for me, it's the, man, what if you would address these things sooner? And then De'Aaron is playing at a different level because he's got the appropriate pieces around him. And they just never addressed it. And now it feels like they're looking to address it. It's like, oh man, it got too bad with De'Aaron now. Okay, we're going to move him. We got LaVine. Okay. We still need these other things though. And that's the challenge, is like, all right, the deadline's Thursday. What are you willing to sacrifice? And the other thing is, teams know you're desperate. So let's even play that game out a little bit. Let's just say you can land a John Collins or Cam Johnson, which doesn't seem reasonable at this point.
Sure.
Okay. Like, where does that put you in the West?
Yeah.
Like, there's not that many games left. So we're talking about 33 games left this year.
Sure.
So it just puts you in an interesting spot. And like, what's the long-term sustainability of this? Are you trying to build a championship team? Because I don't think anyone looks at this at the moment and goes, hey man, this team is going to be a problem in the first round as currently constructed. Deadline's coming up. But at the moment I'm like, all right, man. And you also, like, let's not lose sight of the fact you did trade De'Aaron Fox to the West. That's the other dynamic of this whole thing, is Victor, who's going to be a problem for years to come, plays in your conference, and you just traded your best player to them.
Yes.
So you're helping the enemy a little bit. The team that, if you do want to compete long-term and win a championship, you would have to go through.
You're helping the enemy, but you're also helping out a player that has done so much for your city and your organization. And you look at the way, okay, because you want to play this game a little bit, you look at the way that the Mavs fans are responding to the Dallas Mavericks organization and how they handled Luka Doncic and didn't tell him, and he's just shipped off and gone, and that's how it's going to be. Like, it is so interesting sometimes how people just want to shit all over players, but then when these situations happen, they want to rally together and have their back and be like, no, that's not okay. You can't treat a player like that. You can't be doing this to a guy that has done this, this, and this, and this. And so I think when you do look at this situation, this is Vivek and the organization just trying to do something right for the Fox family. And then you might take a step back too and go, whoa, wait, but you want it to be the best deal for the Sacramento Kings as well. So then the product on the floor that we're all experiencing is a winning product. It's fun and everything else that you want to see for the future. Yeah. And that's what they believe in with Zach LaVine and probably these picks as assets to do something else.
And De'Aaron was going in next year into the final year of his deal.
Mm-hmm.
To rewind, he turned down a contract extension over the offseason. Why? Well, one, like, don't take it a contract extension. Push for the Supermax. He wanted to come in, have a big year, have a chance at the Supermax if you make All-NBA. Wasn't able to. He's not going to be All-NBA.
Right. Like,
that's not happening now. And you can't get the Supermax in San Antonio. But I think it was more the wait and see. And I think it was also keep your options open.
Sure.
And that was a big thing. We got more of this coming up, but a special surprise guest coming in just a minute. ESPN's Bobby Marks joining us. I texted him last second. So let's just bring him in. Oh, we are live now.
Love this guy.
From ESPN, who's doing a great job. He's been very busy too the last couple of days with trades. And I have to fix your shot because we're doing this live, Bobby. Hi. First of all, Bobby, hi. How are you?
Yeah.
Hey, everyone.
Dude.
Greetings from Los Angeles. I can hear the Grammys outside my window right now.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, is it?
Really, I didn't know if it was a Luka Doncic parade happening or what was happening.
Yeah.
We're trying to process.
Probably not happening in Dallas.
No.
Yeah, no. I saw a literal fans with a coffin today.
Yep.
Bringing a coffin
to the Dirk statue.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's tough times in Dallas. We're trying to process this De'Aaron Fox situation, this trade that just went down.
You guys did a lot better than I thought it was going to happen. Let's just say that.
Okay.
Love hearing this from the outside.
Okay. I want to hear why you think that.
I just think, listen, from you know, just from the initial conversations the last few days, I thought that, well, first of all, I hopefully didn't give Sacramento Kings fans like false hope when I went on national TV and said, if I was in the Sacramento front office, this is what I would want. I would want Stephan Castle, right? And then Everyone thinks like, oh, here he's. And I was like, no, like that would be my starting point. And of course, you kind of just work your way down. I just thought what was coming back was probably going to be a combination of basically removing Chicago from the mix and basically the players that were coming back from San Antonio, the Trey Jones, Zach Collins pick package there. And I thought there was probably going to be a revolt in Sacramento.
Ooh.
So as far as from the fan base, because like, it's like, what, like, come on, we need like, you know, we don't want to like hit rock bottom here.
Yeah. So
like, I get like, listen, I thought they did really well. I mean, I think the two picks, the one in, I know they're down the road, the one in 31, the unprotected Minnesota pick, it could be really valuable. And it's not to say 6 years from now, we're all going to be standing here saying like, well, who could that be? It's like, you could use that in a trade. I put that up there where that Phoenix first in 31, the first that Dallas got from the Lakers in 29, like those future ones are valuable. San Antonio in 27. Yeah. You know, the likelihood that's probably going to be in the 20, maybe 20s, I guess, if with that team, we'll see. You get a boatload of that Charlotte one's going to turn into a couple seconds, 26. But that's fine. It could be a, like almost like a late first, maybe. And then you get three more seconds. I thought Sacramento did as well as you probably could based on circumstances. Once this gets out and once it got out last week, it just becomes a major distraction. Like, it's just like, you guys watched the game last night, right? Come on. Right. Like, you get your doors blown off and it's just kind of hangs over your head. And I don't think it's like, you know, it's, I don't think you're like rebooting here. Listen, Zach LaVine, let's remove the contract. And I get that. He should have been an all-star. Like, he's having a great year, like an efficient year, not just a numbers year. And the contract is the contract. It is what it is, right? He's got 3 years left, player option for the third year. He amended most of his trade bonus that was going to be coming. So it's you know, it's only an additional $3 million that it's going to hit 1.5 and 1.5. So I thought they did a pretty nice job, you know, just considering the circumstances.
You know, Bobby, I think what we've been talking about with this, I understand what you're saying, but I'm also like, if you're trying to win, go here. Yeah, go ahead.
I know where you're going. Because I did radio, Sacramento radio.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably like, when can we get to the point where guys we draft, like, we're keeping these guys? Like, where do we get to the point where guys want to be in Sacramento and not? Like, and listen, and De'Aaron didn't ask to be traded, right? Like, he didn't, but there's a but here. What was the likelihood that he was going to extend this summer?
You're right. Right. Yeah.
So how do you get to a point where that doesn't happen? Like, how do you get to a point within the organization where the guy you drafted, the guy that was, you know, him and Domas, the face of your franchise, how do you get to a point where players don't want to be there? And I don't want to say don't want to be there, but just like, you know, like, listen, he would have played out his contract. He probably wouldn't have said anything, but he wouldn't have extended. But how do you get to that point? And I think if you're a Kings fan, that's probably the most frustrating part of it is like, all right, we moved Haliburton, right? He was one of our guys. We got Domas. Great. He's been great. We have De'Aaron. Those are supposed to be kind of the faces of the franchise here. And now we're kind of going in a different direction here. So I think maybe that's kind of like if I'm putting myself in.
Yeah. Well, I think what it is like, how do you do it? You address the weaknesses. And I think like this front office has had an inability the last couple of trade deadlines to close a deal. Like, I think they might lead the league in almost trades, right?
Like, I think the biggest thing too, and this is just going from back from, you know, listen, everybody has their own style.
Yeah.
How they do things. And this is just going back from when Coach Brown got fired. You gotta be up front, man. I worked for Rod Thorne for 10 years. We fired Byron Scott in 2024 after going to two NBA finals. And we were 500 when we fired him. And you know what Rod Thorne did? He went out there and he talked to the media and he addressed it. And what he said was, because at the time, everybody thought that Jason Kidd and Kenny Martin and Richard Jefferson, basically it was a mutiny, mm-hmm. right? There was, right? But Rod went out there and he was like, it's on me. I don't like what I see, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not like, listen, as I said, everybody has their own style on how they do it and how they, but if you want buy-in from the people that buy tickets and the people that support, you have to empower them to feel like they're part of this. You don't have to tell them your trade secrets, but you have to give them kind of the blueprint as far as how, what the direction of the team is going to be. And I hopefully when this trade gets finalized, whether it be, I don't think it's going to be tonight, probably tomorrow. They say, hey, this is what we're doing. This is how we see our roster. We still think we could be a playoff team. Here is, you know, we've got the picks now that we can use to go improve the roster. Like all these, you know, all the different options. I hope that's the case. I do, because I do think people there, I read most of the comments that come in. I probably shouldn't. That's not healthy. but I read the comments that people, you know, that people say, and it's a very loyal, I don't tell you guys, it's a very loyal yep. fan base that just wants, they just want to be like communicated, right? Yep. Like they just want to be what the message is here.
Well, they want them. And they also, I think too, they get mixed messages over the seasons when, over the years, and so does De'Aaron, you know, when you had so many different head coaches, you have had different front offices. And I'm talking about obviously with De'Aaron Fox here. And then, you know, you're being told as De'Aaron that like, hey, you're going to get pieces around you. Like we're going to work around yeah. you. And then we were just talking about this draft after draft. It was Tyrese, Davion, point guards, you know, yes. and even now it's like Devin Carter coming in and not being the length that you need to have on this team. And so what you lack still hasn't been addressed.
The wing spot, the backup.
It can be frustrating in so many different ways. So now I guess we sit here today after what happened and we talk about some of these assets. Are we looking at the Kings finally going to build around Zach LaVine now and not build and didn't build around De'Aaron?
No, I mean, I would think because it's not a rebuild, it's kind of called like kind of like a soft retool.
Yeah.
Right now. So like, what are we doing with the picks? Right. So yes. you got a 25, you got a 27 from that's 2 years from now, San Antonio unprotected. Right. Who the heck knows in 2031 where any of us are. Dude, so yeah. that's like 6 years from now. I mean, what's the plan with the draft picks? Right. You have two firsts and 5 seconds now. That's the reality of it. Like where are you going with that here? And, you know, are you going to extend Zach LaVine this summer, who's extension eligible? Because you might be in the same position a year from now because you got a player option, right? Yeah. Like, so that's like the, you know, what do you, you know, how do you address Keegan this summer? Like he's extension eligible, like all these different, yeah. Now you committed a lot of money to Malik. Now you got Zach, right? Who's your point guard? Devin?
I think now it's Malik for now.
Yeah.
That's going to be the other interesting dynamic is like how they approach this deadline too. Yeah. Like I can't imagine it can
like,
be done.
I always say it's always like, and you know, I saw everyone piling on Dallas and it's, there's always another move
yeah.
to it. It might not be this week, but there's always going to be another move that's part of it here. So I'm interested as far as what they do, you know, in the next 4 days and stuff, as far as how they kind of address maybe some of these things, as far as, because what you could do with these picks, like you can, cause they're unprotected in 27 and, in 31, like you can protect it yourself.
Mm.
Like, so basically you could say, all right, we're going to trade you to the 2031 Minnesota first, and we're going to protect it top five. and you get it if it's 6-30.
Okay.
So if it's the number one pick, then you retain it, and it kind of gives you like, you know, like kind of an insurance policy. Sure. If things go in a different direction here. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the skinny on my take.
Yeah. It's interesting because I just look at it and I love how LaVine's played this year. He's been able to stay on the floor. The mm-hmm. numbers have been really strong. He's had some massive games. And I think,
let me ask you a question. Yeah. Would you have rather taken Zach Collins, Trey Jones, and four first round picks that you were going to, like throw the Charlotte one out there. Mm. Like if I said to you, I'm going to give you the unprotected in 27 and 31, right? The two that you're getting. Mm-hmm. You're going to get the Chicago one back, right? Like that's the one that's going to Chicago's getting their first back. It's top 10 protected. And a protected first from Atlanta. What would you rather have, more picks or better players?
Better players. Because in Sacramento, in this market, it's very difficult to get better players here in free agency. Yeah. And when you have an asset like De'Aaron Fox, you had to make sure you were going to get a win now established player back with it. And so, yeah, I'm absolutely no to the other deal. Yes,
I struggle with it because, you know, Sacramento's never done like a full-on like – blow it up, rebuild. Like they've had good lottery. They've had lottery luck where they've moved up, and then, you know, we go back to the number two pick where they take Bagley instead of Luka. We know how that went out. But they've never really committed to just like tearing it down. And part of that is because, you know, you miss the playoffs 17 of 18 years. You want to be relevant for some time. Yeah. So that's where I struggle with it. You know, I like LaVine as a player, but I just look at it right now and go, okay, did you get better today? I mean, I think at best, lateral move.
But also the Kings aren't making their 3-point shots. They're not making shots right now. And so you add someone
this season,
I'm saying. And so you add someone who's actually making their shots at a very high,
even in the 40s.
And you think about what that can even do, not only for the offense, but even getting back on defense, you know, it did not always have being off of a missed shot. I don't know.
He's obviously not. I would have
loved if you got, and I know the money doesn't work, like if you had gotten Trey Jones and Zach LaVine, like because then you get a point guard. Yeah, like I'm just a little weary about who's running the show.
It's gonna be Malik starting point guard, and then Keon being that backup point guard.
Some Devin. I don't know unless that's addressed too, because you gave. I mean, that they weren't playing McLaughlin, but you know he's gone too.
I mean, the other thing too is like, so you owe your first to Atlanta. Which I think it's top 12 protected. Like they could have gone in a different direction and be like, you know what, we're going to go in the tank. We're going to try to keep that pick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you still might, I don't know, based on what happens over the next, you know, 40. So they didn't fully, you know, fully go in a totally different direction there.
No, I think this move was to what you were just saying, Morgan. I think this move was like, no, we want to win. And we're going to We're going to change up. De'Aaron, the thing was not going the way we wanted to. We're probably not going to extend. Rich Paul's making some noise. Mm-hmm. You know, we've heard the San Antonio stuff for some time. All right, we'll do right by him, send him to San Antonio. We're going to get a player that they have been enamored with in the past. You know, they signed him to an offer sheet years ago that the Bulls matched.
Yeah, that's right. I do remember that.
And now you got him. And he's, you know, last year it felt like the Bulls could not donate him to a team. And this year, it seemed like there are plenty of teams who are interested. Golden State, I guess, had some interest in Zach LaVine too. And so he's not going to Golden State. You get him. He's having a great, efficient year. He's on the floor. I get all that. Now, it's can you address those, those other weaknesses? Because you did this to win now. You did this to win a playoff series. I look at it now and go, well, it's not enough.
Yeah.
John Collins has been in chatter and conversations of like what the Kings, you know, need or want or whatever. And now you look at some of these picks though, and you look at the Kings still, but again, I say like whatever the Kings have, like players that haven't been playing up to par.
Right.
Do you think John Collins is going to be,
not for the picks you got back. I would not put those in play for John Collins.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
First. I'm not doing that. I'm not, I, you know, you know, maybe give you 4 seconds. You know, I wouldn't do that. I mean, you also have to look at kind of where the money is, like how, you know, you lost a big piece with Kevin,
That's true.
right? So now you're like kind of like the process of elimination, right? Like who's the, you know, you have the two guys making 40 plus, and then you have Malik, and then you still have, you know, you have Keegan on a rookie contract, and you've got Lyles on an expiring contract, and it kind of like it's a little bit of a pro, like you got a guy making 26. All right, how do we get to like 22, 23 and piecemeal that all together? So when you remove Herter from the mix, it makes it a little bit more, a little more difficult.
The Spurs swinging a home run here. You don't give up Castle. You don't give up Vassell. They still have
Yourself, Keldon
picks.
Johnson.
They still have their picks, and they get their
They got
guy.
not, they've got 6 of their own 7. They still have those two Atlanta picks, 25 and 27. They've got swap rights, and yeah, listen, I get it. And it's so you could have gone in a different, like, just because I lived this with Carmelo Anthony in 2010 when I was in New Jersey and when he was in Denver, and us in New York got in this bidding war. He wanted to go to New York. They were basically given like a 75 cents on a dollar package. We basically upped the ante, right? And basically made forced them to give like more than they should have. So you could have, I mean, listen, if you really wanted to make this complicated, you could have, you know, basically get another team involved and basically make San Antonio give more than they probably should. I don't, you know, certainly showing restraint, which they did. I do think it was a priority to get Darren there now, even if, you know, listen, they're on the outside, but you get him for, you can renegotiate him this summer. You can extend him this summer. There's, you know, it probably makes more sense, but the fact that, I mean, when you have a plethora of picks, you can give more, you're more willing to give more than, you know, your core guys and everything.
Yeah, I think that's something that's going to sit with a lot of people in Sacramento, and we kind of already went over this, but it's
It,
just,
listen, it is what it is. Like, it's
yeah.
hard to pry, you know, like you would love to have gotten, you know, would you have rather have Stephon Castle and that's it?
True. True. And it's like, no, you wanted these other assets for De'Aaron Fox. Like, and if you could, you got a good player for a good player with assets. And that, I mean, obviously Zach LaVine's not a two-way guy, but like De'Aaron has been defensively, especially as of late, offensively, his fingers all like jacked up and everything. But yeah, so no, and I think so many people though are just gonna keep going like, why, but you could have waited until the summer and then see what you could have done at the trade deadline to put around him and what if things were good. And it's like such a what if game, because I already felt like with Rich Paul and other people reporting, it was like the writing's on the wall, his future's not here. Rip the
All right,
band-aid.
guys, I gotta run.
Thank you so much, Bobby. We appreciate you
Hopping
hopping on
I
for a few
gave you
minutes.
some
No, you are
you're
the best.
positive. Thank
Yeah, thanks
you.
for doing this last second. We
You feel
appreciate
better
it.
after I came on?
You know, it's
I feel
feel
way
fine.
better. No,
Well,
way
fine.
better.
We'll see. We'll see. I don't know. Bobby, we appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you
Bye,
soon.
Bobby.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Thank you.
There's
Bye.
Bobby Marks,
He's the
ESPN's
best. The best.
front office insider, literally the best. And
Literally. He made me feel better.
Yeah, okay.
Like he instantly came on and was like, "Oh yeah, you guys are good." Like this is what the best. And when you hear those things from the outside again, right before he came on, I was just talking about how like the national media is gonna shit all over this, and it's like Bobby Marks is national media, and he is not shitting all over this, and he understands all the different layers to this on so many different, in so many different ways, and so yeah, I feel better. What I don't get where you're at, where,
Well,
why?
because it's just again, like I feel like I'm talking in circles a little bit, but you know what? This is what's fun about this. We're live and processing this together.
Yeah.
And let's see what the live chat says too. How do you feel about this trade? Options are love it, awful, and we'll see. 52% of people say we'll see, 30% say awful, and 19% say love it. Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that San Antonio like cleaned up here. Like San Antonio.
But we already said whoever was going to get De'Aaron Fox in this deal was going to be the ultimate winner.
I just felt like I wanted them to be sacrifice a Vassell or a Castle.
You just wanted to break them apart, and I get it.
No, but I'm just talking about negotiations here. That's the whole name of the game. You're trying to like not necessarily win the deal, but you're trying to get the best deal possible. The LaVine dynamic. I like LaVine a lot, and I think people are mixed on him. LaVine's been playing some awesome basketball this year.
Sure.
I want to reiterate, I like Zach LaVine. I think his shooting ability, his ability to knock down threes, his confidence, his athleticism, his ability to push the pace, finish above the rim, like these are all things that will be good for the Sacramento Kings. Like, they got a good player.
Yeah.
He's got to stay on the floor, right? And then defensively is the big question mark, because we have seen it. He's not a good defender, and the Kings aren't really a good defensive team. You have in your starting lineup DeMar DeRozan, who's not a good defensive player.
Yeah.
In fact, I think this is probably the worst defense he's been playing the last, probably of his career. Like,
yeah.
He is just, 36 years old? Doesn't move the same, right?
Uh-huh.
He's still a bucket, but you're leaning heavy offense right now. And with the trade deadline, you talk about those other moves, like, John Collins, like, how would you even do that deal now? I mean, that seems like impossible, because you just moved Herter's contract in this deal, right?
Well, you just said second rounders, and if you're dealing with someone like Danny Ainge, then you're obviously
to have the salary to match, and he makes 20-something million. So it's going to be interesting to see the tinkering done before the deadline. So I'll reserve judgment completely until then, but it's just tough, because you added the salary of Zach LaVine.
And that's why I'm not sitting here, like, again, processing it in the moment, just like everyone else. And just because people see it as black or white and want to have strong opinions, cool. That's not me. I just don't feel that. I mean, I can vote on our poll and say, we'll see. That would also be my thing. I am just looking at both sides when I'm talking about every single little thing. And that goes all the way to hearing from someone in the national media that is just like, cool. Yeah. I mean, what else would you rather have? Would you rather been screwed in the summer or have this like hovering over your head for the rest of this season too? And then the what if game. Oh, could the Kings have done something different at this trade deadline to put another piece next to De'Aaron and fix everything?
I mean, that's the reality is that's what they should have done.
Right.
But last year, but it's over with. So now you move on and you've got Zach LaVine, who this year is averaging 24 points a game, 4.8 rebounds, 4.5 assists. He is shooting this season from the field 51%, which is a career high. He's also shooting 44.6% from three. That's a career high. And he's doing it on 7.3 attempts per game. His free throw percentage, right around 80%. So that's very De'Aaron Fox-like there. I like Zach LaVine, the player.
Yeah, and it's, again, availability is the best ability. And if he's healthy and can stay on the floor, and this year he has been staying on the floor and has been playing at such a high level, that's all that you can hope for. And if it doesn't go in that direction, then guess what? We can all cry together. Shit. Like, I don't know what to tell you. It's, like, all this stuff is scary. Like, we were just talking about De'Aaron's pinky and, like, him possibly getting surgery in the offseason as well. Probably not going to affect him that much, but it still is his shooting hand that you have to recover from, a surgery, all the different things. So there's just always going to be something that you have to worry about.
Let's read some of the chat. I want to see what the chat's feeling tonight. We're live. We got a massive crowd. We appreciate you. I see this crowd. The biggest thing you could do just to help us.
Thank you.
Click the like button, the thumbs up button. Make sure you're subscribed. We're chasing 20,000 subs. I hope we can get there soon. Get the thumbs up. That should be at like over 1,000 by now. Appreciate that.
Thanks.
Dave says the Kings' weaknesses are even more prevalent after this deal. Defense, athleticism, size, and depth are now a tick worse. The defense, yes. Zach LaVine's got decent size, and he's definitely athletic, so I disagree on that one.
He's super athletic.
And we went over the shooting numbers a bit ago. Like, the shooting numbers for Sacramento have been dreadful. Is one player changing that? No, but you needed someone else who can knock down some goddamn threes on this team besides Keon Ellis and Sabonis, two guys who are not high-volume three-point shooters.
And he's 6'5", 29 years old, turning 30 whenever... Yep.
March.
Yeah, March. I mean, yeah, like, they're, yeah. And super athletic.
Also in the chat, someone noting that the Spurs come to Sacramento March 7th. Yeah, oh, so De'Aaron Fox will be playing against Sacramento March 7th. Are you kidding me? Sexy Mo. So it's obviously not you. In the chat says, King ceiling now and the future is playing. What a joke. I mean, that's the thing. What was their ceiling before? You know, they were, to be fair, with De'Aaron Fox this year,
barely a play-in team.
Barely a play-in team, and last year they were a play-in team. And I'm not, that's not just on Fox.
Not at all.
We talked about that, but like, that's also true. Manifest with Sora says, heartbroken. I feel for people. You know, I thought about that. There's a lot of young fans who like are experiencing this type of shit for a long time.
Damn.
Like maybe you grew up watching De'Aaron Fox, or maybe you are young enough that you weren't paying attention to the last few years.
Yeah.
And then you've seen this and it's like, wait, he's gone. Like I thought the same thing about kids who were rooting for Luka Doncic. Like the first trade for kids is a rough one. I
agree.
There's no doubt about it, especially with someone like De'Aaron Fox.
Well, and I think about this one with De'Aaron. For me, in my adult life, this has been the one that I guess you could say has hurt the most, or I feel most attached to, emotional about. And so that feeling alone is a little bit weird, but at the same time, I also think that what makes me happy about it is that he's going to be happy, and not to say that he was unhappy here, but I just think ultimately all the other things that factor in with what he didn't have here, he will have there.
Well, that's nice that you feel that way about him. You want to get some super chats too? 4C Bar, who's a member, 19 months, appreciate you, saying, Sac needed two of Castle, the Hawks pick, or a swap back. Well, they did not get that. The Rock Jockstrap donated $5 saying, move DeRozan now. Either get picks for him and or find a team who wants him with an elite wing and package the picks for the picks you have now. Yeah, I mean, look, anything can happen. After last night, I think all bets are off. We saw Luka get moved, so I'm not going to say like DeMar is untouchable. I guess I would be surprised if he was moved before the deadline. Who's to say it can't happen? There's so many dominoes that could fall, right?
Yeah.
Like Golden State tonight. Let's not lose sight of the fact Golden State was trying to land LaVine and Vucevic. They swung and missed on LaVine. They wanted a second guy to go with Steph. Could they swing at something else? I have my eye on the Suns. I look at the Suns situation right now, and I'm going, what is this team doing?
Because they want Jimmy, right?
They want Jimmy, but they haven't been able to get Jimmy. They're kind of in this really no man's land where they've gone all in. Beal's got his, like, you know, no trade clause. Who knows, man? You just think about KD there, and you go, you just wonder. You just wonder if Lakeup is seething right now, seeing Luka go to LA. He just saw Sacramento beat him out on LaVine. Like, what do they have in store? But anyway, getting back to DeMar, it's like, who knows? Like, it sounds like the Clippers are interested in making moves. That was a team that had interest in DeMar. I'm not saying he'd go there. Miami, what are they trying to do with this Jimmy Butler situation? How does it play out? So, to your point, never say never. I just wouldn't expect it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shout out to J-Rod, Alex, and Daniel.
Thanks,
who
guys.
Says, wish Fox the best, just not against us.
Yes.
Nathan donates $5. Why do we get Chicago discarded players? L for the Kings. And DeMar DeRozan is a good player. So is Zach LaVine. JB donates $2 saying Zach bonus has a good ring to it. Not going to lie. Nathan also says I wanted Castle in a trade with the Spurs.
I know.
I liked him too.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spurs are very happy that they got to keep him. EGOT donates $5 saying Fox will be the next Kemba Walker / John Wall out of the league soon.
Oh, so, Jesus.
Well, based on what though? Like what? No. Come on, man. Those guys had some bad injuries. Daniel donates saying, I'm just an OKC fan, but oh boy, LaVine, DeMar, and a European big man who isn't green on defense. At least it's not nothing, and Sacramento got picks. Yeah, okay. JBL said, we kind of already knew, but still don't get why the Spurs. They still won't compete anytime soon. Oklahoma City, Denver, LA, Memphis, all getting better. West is tough. I mean,
the Spurs, though.
Yeah.
Like, Wemby is just getting better by the minute. And him alone. Now you add a young, not young, but in their prime star in De'Aaron Fox right next to him. who has a unique skill set that is so difficult to cover night in and night out for so many different teams. And now, watch, he will get the star calls.
Of course. Keegan Murray watch donates $10. I'll root for him and for HB, but I'm still trying to light the effing beam. Good on y'all for the emergency pod. I needed a therapy session.
Oh, man.
Christopher, I'm a Kings fan because of my grandma Lou, who is now in heaven, still chuckled when she was happy with Fox getting a haircut. Thanks for the memories. Yeah. No, dude, Fox, God, as we kind of reflect on De'Aaron a little bit here, because we've been so like transaction focused here, like the deal happened. Dude, I just remember watching him in college and going, God, I hope he's available for the Kings. And I just remember the excitement when I think it was on Snapchat. Do you remember back in the day where De'Aaron posted a picture with holding a Kings foam finger one? It was during the draft process. I remember going, oh my God, is he going to be there at 5?
Yeah.
They get him, and his speed, the pop he had, it was just so exhilarating. And then there were like the low moments, you know, during the pandemic when you had him just looking so depressed at the post-game press conferences, like, get me some help. The moment when Sabonis comes here, that first game against Minnesota, the hug.
Never forget the hug. The hug, the relief. And then what spiraled after that with a playoff season? A playoff season that this city has not seen. And he was a part of that.
A major part. I mean, they won 48 games. Who could forget that game? The classic game against the Clippers, 176-175.
Oh, my God.
Him and Monk just killing it.
And then the post-game presser.
Oh, my God. Ugh. That post-game. No. My voice is just, we've been talking a lot lately.
I know.
That post-game press conference was amazing. It was like, oh, the Kings have fucking arrived.
Yeah.
And it was just the moment. And that's why I've said it and I'll keep saying it forever. Why you enjoy moments. We get so caught up like, oh, they got knocked down the first round. Ah, we got to do this. Just be present sometimes and enjoy the moment because it ends fast. Like if you would have told me after they won 48 games that 2 years later, Fox and Brown would be gone. I'd be like, there's no way.
In the same season. In the same season.
Insane.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just watching that OKC game last night, I mean, I you felt it. And you read some of the quotes after the game. Those guys felt it. It felt like it was done.
Well, the quotes, was that this morning that came out with like...
Yeah, that's what I was just saying. The quotes that came out.
DeMar.
Ooh, DeMar DeRozan just posted a picture of him and Zach LaVine on his IG stories.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I know those guys like each other. DeMar was just in Chicago when the Kings played the Bulls and was raving about LaVine and the fact that, look, he's showing what he can do when healthy.
Yeah.
But enjoying these moments because, like, God, man, it was a fun one. And it was fun when he made the playoffs because it was like, God, man, he's been through it. And, you know, that one video he made, I think it was his second year, and he was just talking about his love for Sacramento.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, he's going to go down as one of my favorites. And then, you know, personally, like, just what I said earlier, just him doing our podcast the way he did was insane to me.
Yeah.
And, I'll always respect him.
Down to earth, humble dude, humble family. And like, even when they did do the pod, they talked about how they parent and everything, and they just want to be as normal as they can be while being a basketball star and traveling and having a shit ton of money. You know, like, you still gotta wake up and feed the baby. We all got jobs to do, you know? And so it's really special when you're franchise that you root for does get a player like that on and off the court. And I feel so lucky that we were able to experience it. I wish he got to experience even more winning within his career. And just less coaches too.
Yeah. No, you're so right. We saw him come to Sacramento as a 19-year-old. Yeah. And we saw, you know, you could tell he's kind of immature.
For sure he was. Like, we all were. Well, mostly you guys, but yeah.
Yeah, at 19, I was for sure. And yeah. So, yeah, like, and to see him kind of turn and evolve and elevate his game. So, San Antonio's getting a great one, man. And those Spurs fans should be beyond excited about what they have, because I do think De'Aaron has another level to get to, and I think he's going to be able to achieve it.
We haven't touched on much Kevin Huerter, obviously, right, because there's all the other stuff is a lot bigger.
I did have 15 minutes on Jordan McLaughlin. He was also part of the deal.
And I feel bad for him because his wife, did they have the baby? Or yeah. Wow. So they had the baby born in Sacramento, but moving on over to San Antonio. But going back to Kevin Huerter, obviously, we were just talking about even the Beam Team year and Kevin having his career year here in Sacramento with his shooting. And that, and even when that trade happened, or when that deal happened for Kevin Huerter,
yeah,
it was like, I remember being excited about it. And for it to translate into what it did in that first year with him, I think a lot of people forget because they've enjoyed shitting on him, what he hasn't been doing the last 2 years. And it's understandable to be frustrated, but I will always be thankful, one, for that Beam Team year. And he was always a nice guy.
Dude, that game, I think it was early season against Utah, where you're like, are the Kings good? Like, this is kind of fun. He hit a big three late. The eruption in that building at Golden 1 Center was outrageous. And he was awesome that year. Made over 200 threes, over 40% shooting from downtown. He just hasn't been able to rediscover it. And I think he's a classic guy that needs a change of scenery. He may have some weaknesses that we've all seen.
Sure.
But he's a better player than what he's been showing in Sacramento. And
he's just got to find consistency with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And an opportunity and belief. And I think his confidence was shaken in that second year with the Kings when he came into camp and was like, yeah, maybe we'll start the Chris Duarte. Ironically enough, Chris Duarte with the Bulls.
Yeah.
but no, I, dude, yeah, wild. Kev is, it was a really fun year when they won that 48 games and the vibes were unbelievably high, and Kevin was a part of it. And I'm sorry, I will forever, anybody who was on that team that broke the playoff drought to me, you got a special place in my heart because we in Sacramento have seen shit basketball for, it's the 40th season in Sacramento. We haven't seen a ton of success, okay? Mm-mm. We have seen 10 winning seasons in 40 years. 10.
There are so many Kings fans right now that are alive and in their teens that have, like, never seen multiple winning years or, like, postseason years. You know, you think about the early 2000s, we were fans and young basketball fans. We got to see some winning. Obviously now you got the Beam Team year. Then you got the year after that with whatever that was, you know, I mean, six losses to the Pelicans.
Oh my God.
And not being able to get into a playoff series because of it. But I will always hang on to that year. And that's why so many, whenever year. Like Golden State Warriors fans have been like, oh, four rings. I'm like, cool. Anytime the Kings win. And especially when they beat the Warriors, I'm going to be petty as shit and like enjoy it like it's a championship because I haven't been there before. So let me be me.
That was a fun year. And now the Kings are trying to rediscover something in a massive deal tonight, trading De'Aaron Fox to the San Antonio Spurs. Spurs fans probably celebrating in the streets because they didn't have to give up a ton. They still have a ton of picks. They've got all their young talent. And they just added De'Aaron Fox to their squad.
Lucky them.
They got a lot better today. And what else is in store when they have some promising young talent and draft picks? Damn. For the Kings, it's looking ahead to what the hell is next. I think Zach LaVine and the Kings offense could be a lot of fun. Okay. Are they going to be able to stop anyone? Are they going to make any other moves? Because I'll tell you this. If Zach LaVine was playing against OKC last night.
Yeah.
They're probably giving up 70 something points in the paint and 70 that he doesn't solve those for issues.
100%.
We haven't really talked about CD Sissoko at all today.
Sure. And CD Sissoko, 20 years old, 6'6", I think. He's done a great job working his ass off on his body. He's someone that has has, I guess, in the G was heavier at times, and then put a lot of work into his body, lost a lot of weight, and has been able to get up and down the floor a lot easier. Can play at a high level in the G League. What will his game translate to into the NBA? I mean, we just haven't seen enough of it.
Yeah, he's been playing a lot in the G. He played 17 games with the Spurs this year. Not a lot of time. So I'm looking up his G League numbers right now to give you guys a bigger perspective. He was actually in, he played a game in Sacramento. It was when Devin Carter made his debut with the Stockton Kings. And CD actually played in that game. He's got good size, Morgan mentioned. Close to a 6'10 wingspan. In the G League this year, averaging 17 points a game, 51% shooting, 25% from three.
Yikes on that, but
yeah. So
but yeah,
I'm not like selling anybody on that one. He's a young player that's like, oh, we'll take a look at him, I guess.
Yeah, he had a lot. He was with Ignite, right?
Yeah, he was with G League Ignite.
He was Ignite with Ignite when they had their squad, and there was a lot of excitement surrounding him and what he was going to do, his feel for the game and everything. But yeah, I think it is what it is right now. So there's not much to touch on for that. And like for the Kings and their depth or anything, it's like, no, they still have things that need to happen. Honey.
That's where I'm at. And we'll wait for it, I guess. And hopefully it comes, because if we get to Thursday and it's noon or 12:30, whenever the trade deadline is, and we get here and go, oh, anything happened? It's like, oh, there's a cash consideration, and somehow they landed Robin Lopez again. It's going to be extremely disappointing. Somehow. It's like, wait, how did you reacquire him in a trade? Like,
yeah.
He's not even in the league. But until then, we wait. We wait, bud.
We shall wait.
Man.
I know. What a day. What a weekend.
Yeah.
Today's Sunday. What a weekend.
David's a Spurs fan, a new subscriber checking in. Congratulations. So glad you're happy. Animal says, wow, we got fleeced. Yeah. It's just the position they took, right? Like, they decided to go in a path of, like, we want to still win and compete. Like we keep saying, there's other moves that would have to be made to get to that point. But getting Zach LaVine to step in place for De'Aaron Fox, a guy who can get buckets and hit threes and make shots and push the pace. Like, you could see it, but it's still the same problems that exist. You improve the 3-point shooting slightly, and you still have the other issues.
Do you think everyone got so excited over the summer when DeMar was added? Because you're like, yay, you're adding around De'Aaron, you're adding to De'Aaron, even though there's still going to be things, weaknesses, but yay, someone else that can get you a bucket. Well, obviously, beginning of the season didn't go how you wanted to go under Doug Christie. It's been going in a better direction. But then this has been looming over De'Aaron Fox and his crew, I guess, Rich Paul, whoever else, you know, for a little bit now. And it's just like when Bobby Marks came on here and said, and he's like, you know, Doug Christie and all of them can say, we're pros. You got to do what you got to do. It doesn't matter if this is happening. It's happening. And that's why Bobby Marks was even like, yeah, you have this looming over you. This is a distraction. This is all the different things. It just is. It is. Unless you rip a Band-Aid off, or if you like set the tone with, no, this isn't happening until the summer. Or, no, this isn't happening at all. He's our future. And that wasn't the case. And it felt like we kept saying the writing's on the wall, and it was. And it happened today, and it happened before tomorrow's game, you know, and I don't know what to expect out of tomorrow's game for the Sacramento Kings, but at the same time, it's better to happen now sooner than later.
Do we want to hear any of DeMar DeRozan talking to JJ Redick from 2 years ago about Zach LaVine? Just a little perspective from Zach.
How much can you play? Just like audio? We'll
just play a little bit of audio. Okay. Just to get some perspective.
You essentially function as the point guard in the half court. Would you say that's true?
Yeah,
because Zach can obviously play make, but he's a scorer, and Zoe primarily actually plays off the ball. And when he is functioning as a point guard, a lot of times it's in transition with his.
Okay, JJ, let's move on. Let's talk.
Just say DeMar's a point guard, and I was like, "What you mean I'm the point guard?" Like, say he's the point guard, and from then on, I was the point guard for probably 2 months straight. And it forced me, and Pop is real big on turnovers. You better not turn the ball over or you're going to get cussed out. So it made me more conscious of understanding the right play, understanding who I'm on the floor with, what they can and cannot do, where they like to catch the ball, where they need the ball. And it kind of broke the game down for me in a simpler manner to understand, you know, my passing lanes, how to get guys the ball. And over my first year in San Antonio, I got more and more comfortable with it. And it just carried on from there.
We hype Zach up a lot on this show. Did you realize before you play with him how like skilled he actually is?
Yeah, that was one thing that was big for me wanting to play with Zach, because Zach is one of those guys to where he don't get his just due. Like I believe he should. He's top 5, top 10 talent in our league with the things he's able to do. It's nothing he cannot do. Athletically, he's one of the best athletes in our league. He could shoot the ball from anywhere, get to the basket. It's everything he could do in it. And when you look at it and you realize, like, damn, this year was his first year getting to the playoffs, you know, and you know, you got to give him credit, you know, for the last couple of years, you know, he wasn't on the greatest of teams. So I was a big advocate on just wanting to see him be successful and get the recognition that he deserved, because the talent that he have, the things I've seen him do in practice while we were scrimmaging in the games, it's incredible. I tell him all the time, I'm envious of so much stuff he's able to do because he make it look so easy, you know, and me just being able to give him whatever knowledge I can to, you know, expand his game even more and more. It's just an honor to be able to play with him.
That was going to be my comment on Zach. I was not going to use the word envy. I was going to use the word jealousy to describe how I feel about Zach, because even like his jump shot, man,
just everything.
It just looks so easy.
Smooth.
It looks so effortless. Yeah,
it's everything you do. And sometimes I find myself when we in practice and you do certain things, I sit there and just watch him, because it's like, it makes no sense the God gifted abilities that he has. Like you can't teach what he has.
Do you think he could still win the dunk contest?
No question.
There's from a couple of years ago when DeMar DeRozan was on JJ Redick's podcast, when JJ was a podcaster. So my praise there about Zach LaVine's talent and his ability. Someone in the chat mentioned this too, and we haven't talked about this. We talk about all the emotions and the transactions, blah, blah, blah. LaVine's also played with a big who could pass the ball in Vucevic too. And LaVine is a really good cutter. And that's, I think, a plus. You know, I think De'Aaron at times could have been a better cutter. I don't think they use that element of his game enough, because when he did, it was really impactful. But I think that's an area where LaVine could really thrive.
I love that. You know, just obviously having that off-ball movement, you have a playmaker in Malik Monk who's probably going to have the ball in his hands a lot. And then you even see in that clip that, you know, DeMar was the point guard, established as the point guard as times with that squad. I don't think that's going to be the case here, because I think they're going to want to still push the pace, push the ball up the floor, have obviously someone as athletic and fast as Zach LaVine be running with it. So, but going back to the passing big and Vucevic, yeah, like it already makes you feel comfortable about spacing and all the other things that he can do in a DHO action with him as well.
In the chat, Antoine says, I'm from Chicago and a lot of Chicago fans are definitely upset about Zach LaVine being traded. But with DeMar and Zach and Sabonis, this is a better version of what the Bulls tried to do in Chicago. Yeah, and those Bulls teams had some success when healthy, no doubt about it. David says LaVine is a better jump shooter than Fox, which he never really was. The fallacy is that you have to be a jump shooter to be effective. Slashers like Fox and Shea can be extremely effective. No, no doubt about it. Fox is a very effective player. Cash says there will be a second trade for a backup center like JV or else we're in the same place as before. Yeah, I think that's right. What's going through your mind right now?
I feel just a lot of things. I kind of feel sad. No, I feel like it's the end of De'Aaron Fox era. You know, and you do feel that connection. I think for Bulls fans even, you know, with Zach LaVine and maybe a connection there. Now, he had his years where health was an issue, and so he wasn't playing. So I don't know how that entire fan base, I don't have a pulse of that entire fan base or anything, but I know for Sacramento how loved De'Aaron was. But it is so funny mm-hmm. how not loved he was when he had a bad game.
Yeah.
And then it's like on a night like this, everyone just wants to shit. And I think I love it because that's fandom. Like, that's what people want to do and feel and yeah. be emotional. And I love it. Like, do what you need to do.
Chat is wild tonight, dude. I have never seen like opinions all over the place.
It's
amazing. I appreciate all the live people. Hit the thumbs up and subscribe. You guys are literally the best for hanging out with us, you basketball sickos. Live last night, live now. This is fun. And we're going to be live for the NBA trade deadline too.
See.
And if there's any other trades that happen, we'll go live because that's what we do. I'm interested to see what it looks like. I hope LaVine can play soon. The Kings need a win in a big way. And I thought Steve in the chat mentioned, God, LaVine, Malik, DeRozan, not a lot of good defenders. I guess if you're just trying to outscore teams like 150 to
the beam team year. The beam team year, right? Isn't that their
MO? I need to find out how the Bulls were able to be fifth in defense with DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine and Vucevic in a lineup in the 22-23 season. I can't say I was like locked into Bulls basketball then. I know they had like Caruso and Beverly, but I'm like, how was that team fifth in defense with those three guys we just mentioned?
I don't know.
Man.
Yeah.
Ed in the chat, always good to get his perspective, saying getting LaVine is not being fleeced, especially since the Fox situation put the Kings in a horrible situation. Yeah, I think that's what we're going to be talking about for a long time is why did it have to get to a horrible situation? Why did it have to get to a point, you know?
But that's the thing. You look around the league and with these star players, it either gets to that situation or it gets to a situation. All good things come to an end unless.
Even this podcast?
No, I don't ever want to end this podcast, but all good things come to an end. Unless there's special scenarios, like, for example, Steph Curry. But if Steph Curry wanted the F out of Golden State right now, could you blame him? Unless they get something done.
Right.
And that's when then you're like going, oh, wait, okay, they did this. But he's not that guy. And there's not a lot of those guys in and around the league where, one, they're a generational player, and two, like, that organization will do anything for them. And I think when you look at this business, and even the other night with the trade with Luka and AD, I was telling Deuce, I was like, God, I'm glad that they just did it and didn't tell anybody. Like, I thought that was a smart move, but I also understand how they are perceived as assholes and it's awful and you shouldn't ever do that after someone gives you so much to your city, to your organization. So like, I completely understand a lot of those sides to this. There's just, again, I say it, there's so many different layers to these situations.
Yeah. What a night. What a last couple of days as an NBA fan. We all want like fireworks at the trade deadline. Deadline's Thursday. In the last 2 days, we have seen Luka get traded to the Lakers for AD at a three-team deal. And now tonight, De'Aaron Fox goes to the Spurs in a three-team deal with Zach LaVine coming back to Sacramento. Holy shit.
I mean, talk about some fireworks around the league.
We need more, though, man. Give me some more deals.
Don't get greedy.
All right, let's get to some final thoughts.
Final thoughts. What are yours?
I'm just excited to see what this next week looks like. I want to see what else. I'm trying to be open-minded to it. I'm obviously a big De'Aaron Fox fan. I believe in him. But I also know Zach LaVine has been awesome this year.
Yeah.
I have seen him play games where you're just like, this guy is nasty. The shot-making is legit. The confidence is legit. He's a tough cover. He's an athletic freak. There are things I absolutely love about Zach LaVine. There are also things that scare the hell out of me. Contract, the injury history, the defense, and the Kings still have the holes. Let's just see how it plays out. I would not have predicted this. I would not have predicted that the Kings would be trading De'Aaron Fox, you know, a couple of years ago. But this is where we're at. And I just, naturally, I just hope for the best. I really do.
That's kind of where I'm at. I'm ready to talk about this new basketball team that the Kings have put together and are hopefully putting together and tweaking. And now's the time, you know, now's the time as you make some moves to keep making more, because you want people to want to stay here. You want people happy, but you also want your fan base happy, and you want to be able to put something on that floor that everyone in the city deserves to watch, you know?
Dude, if we get King Spurs playing.
I don't know. I don't even want to talk about that, because, like, I'm not going to work. I'm just going to be a fan for that whole series. Or playing. Oh, my God.
Playing against San Antonio.
That would suck.
De'Aaron Fox coming back to Sacramento.
Zach LaVine game winner. Oh!
I like your perspective, because I was about to say something else.
I know you were.
Fox for 60. He does it again the second time.
He knows this arena.
He scored 60 points in a game this year. He had 108 in two games.
Uh-huh. At Golden 1 Center.
Oh, my God. One other thing I was going to mention. People in the chat, and I know people are joining us late. I feel like we're repeating ourselves a little bit here because we're just processing this. So we appreciate you. We randomly had Bobby Marks on, too.
Love that.
But someone was mentioning, how'd they not get the pick swap back from the Spurs? I agree. Like, I would have been like, dude, the least you can do, give us that pick swap back. Like, we regret it. We didn't want to do that one. Just give it. You don't need that one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the one. But anyway, let's enjoy this ride together. We've been through tough times. If it gets tough, deal with it.
We'll
man.
Be here. We'll be here. And we'll all be together. So
we are basketball sickos for life. You get it like NWO for life. Make sure to comment after the show. Let us know how you're feeling about this trade. What do you think is next for the Sacramento Kings? We love you guys, but we got to go.
Make sure to be checking in all week for any other fireworks. We love you. Thanks for joining us.
See ya.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you, most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.